Right, here we go into the 4 o'clock hour. Happy to be with you. Gwynn and Chris. Crisello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Mr. Scraby, the Odyssey Palace Studios. Tony's down at Petco Park. He's running around again following a fun edition of the Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Yeah.
A lot of ugly this week. A lot of ugly. You know, we didn't even get in the Panthers and how ugly they were again.
We don't need to. Everybody
but,
knows.
Bryce Young has been benched already as quarterback. And good old Andy Dalton is back starting in the NFL. Gee, where would the league be without that?
Well, I do think Andy Dalton is a blueprint for how to make a career in the NFL.
He's
a starter somewhere
forever.
And then stay on the good side of people.
And just keep finding lousy quarterbacks to back up
and mentor.
You'll get your opportunity. Other NFL notes. I mean, there's a lot of them, big ones today. Cooper Kupp to the IR, not yet, but missing many games. Yes, ankle injury. Rams are already without Puka Nacua. Miami Dolphins are going to sign Tyler Huntley as a backup quarterback to Skylar Thompson. But this is the interesting thing to me. Tua Tagovailoa still not placed on injured reserve. Mike McDaniel says they need more information. Tagovailoa says he plans on coming back and playing despite the fact everyone's telling him to retire.
You know what that means, Chris, if they didn't put him on IR. He'll be back before 4 weeks is up.
Awesome. And if he plays like he did Thursday night before the injury, it's not going to matter a whole hell of a lot.
Nope.
Isaiah Pacheco is out 6 to 8 weeks.
That's a bummer for them.
That hurts the Kansas City Chiefs, but they are looking to replace him with Kareem Hunt. Why don't you bring P. Diddy in to run for you?
Oh, my gosh.
And there's, you know, these videos of these guys. I don't understand how they keep getting jobs. I just don't, but that's, you know, I guess not for me to determine. Justin Herbert had some x-rays today on his leg after being hurt yesterday.
He got snapped in half.
No, he's fine.
I mean, did you see the play?
Oh, he got snapped
in half.
Oh,
yeah, he got snapped in half. His legs were underneath the player, and he got, like, high load.
He's okay.
Bad.
He's okay. I think Justin Jefferson's going to be okay, but out with a quad. They didn't say anything today yet on Jefferson.
He did an interview after the game yesterday, so that tells me that he's fine.
Oh, he said he's fine, but, you know, they can say that.
We'll see
what happens.
Yes.
Baseball-wise, Padres, fantastic weekend over the Giants, 3-game sweep. Shut them out the first two games, beat them in extra innings yesterday. Friars 3.5 up on the wild card and only 3.5 back of the Dodgers. Dodgers play the Braves today. Mets are hosting the Nationals. If you're wondering, keeping scoreboard, Arizona's at Colorado. Padres and Astros do start a 3-game set tonight. Yu Darvish back on the mound for San Diego against the AL West leading Astros. They're 4.5 up in their division, by the way. All right, so I think you're pretty much caught up with everything that you need to be caught up on. Scraby, anything I leave out there in a quick recap?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, well then let's get to today's round of... Oh, wait, I do have one thing.
Okay.
Sorry. We're going to give away not only our usual prize today in the Daily Gambit, or the Chris versus the Fans, our usual qualification for trip to Las Vegas, we're also going to give a pair of tickets today for tastings in the wine and beer garden at the La Jolla Art and Wine Festival. It's kind of a hoity-toity thing for our listeners, Scraby. It's coming up on, I don't know how many of you out there, you know, frequent the Art and Wine Festival in La Jolla.
I think a lot.
I hope so. But you'll be able to go September 29th. It's a free event featuring 160 fine artists and loads of family fun. Tickets are required to enter the wine and beer garden. They can be purchased at ljawf.com. So we're going to give some tickets to that. But in the 5 o'clock hour, I got tickets to Wednesday's Padres-Astros game. Stick around for that as we play Chris versus the Fans now.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself...
Howdy-do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the Fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, you have to make it through. Let me start that over. The rules: you have to make it through three questions. Each question will get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question, or you win. If you're a first-time player, let us know before you get into it, and you will get the first question for free today. Chris vs. the Fans is presented by SD Fat Loss. Lose 20 to 30 pounds in just 60 days. Visit SDFatLoss.com to schedule your free consultation. Final Chris vs. the Fans for a little bit, everybody. I have yet to figure out what we're going to do instead.
Yes, we haven't really announced to everybody that I'm going on a vacation here.
Yes.
Basically, the Padres are sending me away.
Yeah.
They're like, don't come back until the playoffs start.
They're like, so. you bad mouth our team too much.
Yes,
you're out.
Right. I'm too negative. So, yeah, I'm going to be out for a little while. Got a little trip planned here with the honey. So we're going to have some fun. But are you going to do, do you know if you're going to do Gwynn versus the Fan?
I don't think it can happen.
Huh?
I don't think it can happen.
Oh, because he's got to get ready for ball games.
Yeah. So yeah, I'll figure something out.
You'll figure something
out. Adam's in here with me. So we'll have some sort of game to be played at this time.
I think you can just do Scraby versus the Fan. You forget the answer to most of these questions anyway.
That's what I was about to say. It's like, who's going to do the questions
then? I don't know what you're going to do under those circumstances.
I wake up in the middle of the night sometimes, Chris, like, thinking about questions. It's
as you should.
As I should. All right, we already said the prize. We already did all that. Let's go to our first contestant.
No, I don't think we did rules.
Yeah, we did.
Because I didn't say playa.
Yes, you did.
I did?
Yes.
Oh, really? Way out of it, though.
Yes, you did. Let's go to Ricky. Hello, Ricky.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Not too much. Are you ready to play?
Yeah, I am a first-time player.
Player! All right, Ricky, good to have you with us. Thanks so much for being with us.
Yes, here we go.
Good luck to you. Guys.
Hope you win in your debut.
Question number two. The last Cowboys Super Bowl victory came over what team?
Ooh, I'm going to go the San Francisco 49ers.
San Francisco 49ers. That would be really hard to do. They play in the same conference.
I think it was the Steelers. I think I watched that game in Alaska.
That's random.
Yeah.
That's correct, though.
For
I'm
some
sorry,
reason, I remember
Ricky.
That. That was the game the Steelers tried the onside kick at the beginning of the second half or early in the second half. It almost turned the game around. They were driving for a winning score, but Neil O'Donnell?
Oh, yeah,
yeah. Quarterback.
Wow.
Threw the ball right to Larry Brown twice.
Wow.
And Larry Brown was MVP for standing there and catching the ball. And then he signed like a $1 billion contract with the Raiders, who were like, what the hell did they just do? Because he wasn't even very good. But he was Super Bowl MVP.
You know, so. I remember that. Does it surprise you that I was extremely mad at the Cowboys because Deion?
How old were you for that game?
10.
Yeah, 10.
So because it was 95, I believe, yeah. And Deion mm-hmm. went from the 49ers to the Cowboys, and it really bothered me. And then he was running around. And
Yeah. Anyway. I'm sorry about that.
Thank you for being caring about that.
You're welcome.
Let's go to our next contestant. We're going to go to Lance. Hello, Lance.
Gentlemen.
Here we go. Question number one. Coming into today, which baseball team has the most wins in all of baseball?
Phillies.
Phillies is correct. We're losing there for a little bit. All right, here we go. Question number two. What was the nickname of the Minnesota Vikings defensive line from the late 60s to the 70s?
Oh boy.
The Purple People Eater.
That a boy, Lance.
I was just hoping that Lance knew because I knew that
I said, oh boy, because you know I know those from
yes.
the 70s. Yeah, that's a great name, though, isn't it?
It
the
is.
The Purple People Eater.
I do love it.
Yeah, they didn't need anybody in the Super Bowl, so they got clobbered every time they went to the Super Bowl. But they were really good before that.
All right, here we go. Question number three. Get this right or Chris gets it wrong, and you are going to the wine festival, the La Jolla Food and Wine Festival, and also the qualification for Las Vegas. Two Padres pitchers are in the top 10 for strikeouts this season. Name both. Which two Padres pitchers? Yeah, go ahead.
He's Dylan Cease and Michael King.
Wow,
give
nice.
The man the title.
Dang, Lance. We went from Ricky to Lance, and the game is over.
Way to go, Lance. Anybody comes up with Purple Lance. People Eaters deserves the title.
Good by you?
Yeah, very good by me. They had some great names back then. They had the Fearsome Foursome from the Rams.
Steel Curtain.
They had the Steel Curtain for the Steelers, and they had Doomsday Defense for Dallas.
Oh.
They had the No-Name Defense for the Dolphins back in the 70s.
Which still angers, I'm sure, that they angers them.
No, they took it as a prideful thing.
Oh, okay.
They went, and what happened there, they played the I think it was the Cowboys in the Super Bowl, and they asked Tom Landry about the Dolphin defense. He said, well, they're pretty good, but they're just a bunch of no-names. And so the Dolphins took that. And they won two Super Bowls and calling themselves the no-name defense. And I think it served them in the realm of they played as a team. It was like they didn't want to focus on any individuals. So they used it to their advantage.
All right.
But there were some really good names. Yeah, Fearsome Foursome with Deacon Jones and Merlin Olsen and Doomsday with Ed Too Tall Jones. Come on, you need nicknames, Scraby. Right? Like in the day, Deacon Jones. That wasn't his name. His name was David Jones. How exciting would that have been?
Here's the
quarterback. He's sacked by David Jones. But Deacon Jones, now you got something.
He took his head off.
He did take his head off. Deacon Jones invented the term sack.
Oh, really?
They asked him what it was like tackling the quarterback. And he said, well, it's like I go in there and I grab all the quarterbacks and I put them in a big sack and I just beat them. And they started calling it a sack.
Deacon
Jones was a little crazy, Scraby, okay?
I do love old school stuff
like
that. Yes,
it's like putting him in a sack and just grabbing him and just beating the sack. That's how sack came about. Ed Too Tall Jones for the Dallas Cowboys. Now, he was tall, but he wouldn't have been much of a guy if he just rushed the passer as Ed Jones.
Yeah, that's true.
That's going to scare anybody.
No.
But Too Tall Jones, that was a mythic figure.
Mythic figure.
It was, man. The NFL was, in that regard, it was better back then.
I think the
Raiders ran around in those days with the, who'd they have? Oh, man, they were just tearing people's heads off.
I had someone just text me saying that their softball team growing up was named the Purple People Eaters.
Very good. Good job by you guys out there. Yeah, the Raiders, if you ever want to see some illegal football, just type in the name George Atkinson. It's a safety for the Raiders back in the 70s. He never tackled a single player. He just waited till you ran across the middle, and then he clotheslined you. Simple as that, whether you had the ball or not.
That's
And it was legal. Like, they didn't even throw a flag on the guy.
That's why when...
Football was crazy back then.
Football was crazy, Chris, like 10 years ago.
And think about it, back then, they weren't taking guys off the field if they had a concussion. They just... took him to the sideline, rub a little dirt on it, and, send you right back out on the field.
Sir, what's your name? I don't know. Oh, he's ready to go back
in. He's ready, yeah. Do you know what jersey number? We're wearing white. Good, you're good to go.
What color is the sky?
Get on out there.
Oh, he said red. It's okay, though.
He's in. All right, good job, Lance. The Purple People Eaters take him to the title today. We'll take a break. More Gwen and Chris on the way. By the way, Lance, you're going not only the Vegas thing. Did you read that? The whole thing?
No.
You didn't read the whole thing.
I'll read it to him in the break.
Read it to him in the break, but he's going to the Wynn Hotel or the Encore, and he's seeing the show Awakening if
That's
he gets
right.
the grand prize.
I felt like we were light on something.
Yeah, and then he also gets the tickets to the Wine and Food Tasting Festival. Lance, that's an event worthy of somebody who knows who the Purple People Eaters are. Got the latest on Shohei Ohtani pitching in the postseason? Update when Gwen and Chris resumes. All right, potpourri time. We're going to cover a couple of different things here, including Shohei Ohtani's potential postseason pitching plans. Crisello, Matt Scraby, together in the Odyssey Palace Studios. Tony Gwynn Jr. at Petco Park. Padres and Astros tonight. One thing about Shohei Ohtani, he just came up to bat here to lead off the game against the Braves. And his culture is fantastic. You know who he just tipped his cap to when he came up to get ready to get into the batter's box?
No.
Like, actually faced the person, tipped his cap, and then stepped into the batter's box.
The only thing I can think of is like Bobby Cox or something.
Bobby Cox, no, I don't think so.
Did he pass away?
I don't think he did. It's close, but it's a close call. But he didn't. I think he did.
I'm going to look while you're
Braves fan. Adam's listening somewhere, and he's like, you idiots.
I don't think he is.
He didn't tip his cap to the catcher. He didn't tip his cap to the umpire. He tipped his cap.
No, he's still alive, Bobby Cox.
Bobby Cox, okay. He tipped his cap to the guy, the in-stadium camera guy, who was running out on the field shooting him come up to bat. You know how they,
there's a guy on the field always with a camera
as these guys come up? Shohei Ohtani tipped his cap to him before he stepped into the batter's box.
Well, when you get that media training, you know.
I guess so.
You always know where every camera is so you don't get caught betting on things.
All right.
I know. I'm going a little
taking
crazy.
Taking shots.
No, I
thought it was kind of an interesting. I was like, hey, this guy salutes everybody.
Shohei Ohtani is hard to hate.
You found a way, though.
I don't hate him.
Yes, you do.
I think he's annoying.
You think he got away with one.
I think he's annoying because he deferred $690 million of $700 million, but...
Well, I don't find that annoying if I'm a Dodger fan. Anyway, he's up at bat. The Dodgers and Braves are underway. Now, before the game, Dave Roberts was asked about Shohei potentially pitching in the postseason. Remember we talked about that a little bit?
Yes.
Last week. Dave Roberts said he's not ruling it out entirely, but he said it's really a long shot. So that's where that stands. Dave Roberts not going to totally pigeonhole himself just in case, but I really get the feeling Dave Roberts is not planning on Shohei pitching in the postseason. One guy who's not going to pitch in the postseason is Glasnow. He's pretty much done now. Tyler Glasnow.
He's not going to be pitching at all in the postseason?
I don't think so. Doesn't look like he had another setback. He's done. Done.
Let's talk about that for a second.
Yeah.
Because, like, Tyler Glasnow seems like a nice guy, too, so I don't want to be too mean.
But you think he's soft.
But he never finishes... He never finishes a season. Well, I don't understand how these teams don't take that into account when they pay these guys.
I don't disagree with that. You would think somebody like Glasnow, who's been hurt like 16 or 17 times, the Dodgers, before they gave him all that money, would, you know, take that into consideration. I don't disagree with you.
But other teams screw it up because they'll be like, hey, we'll give you $200 million.
But when he was pitching, he was, you know, as good as there was in the league. But... yeah, it doesn't do you any good when you're not pitching. Speaking of guys that can't stay healthy, we jump to football. And this is what you get. You personally
are
get.
Are you talking to me?
Yes.
Oh, I thought you were talking to everybody out there.
No, I'm talking to you. This is what you get personally for not, you know, just doing the right thing and applauding your best friend Kevin O'Connell for beating the 49ers. Now the tables have turned on you. 49ers wide receiver Deebo Samuel, calf injury, gonna miss multiple weeks.
Talk about a guy
who... ooh, boy. Yeah, he doesn't stay healthy either, right?
No, it just really bothers me.
I'm sorry.
It just really bothers me. These soft tissue injuries, Chris, really bother me. I need to see a bone sticking
out
of your leg.
Maybe these guys should have gone into badminton instead of football.
They should have done if you something got, like that.
Yeah, if you get too many soft tissue injuries, it doesn't work.
Did George Kittle have a bathroom emergency yesterday?
That was another aspect of that 49er game. I was playing against Kittle in the fantasy. And yeah, they said third quarter, George Kittle just went off to the locker room on a cart.
I was like, oh no, he's out for the season.
I didn't think that. I just thought, at least I don't have to play him the rest of the day in fantasy. Next thing I looked up, he was catching the ball and making 15, 20 more yards. Apparently it was not a bathroom break, Scraby. Apparently he was a little dehydrated.
That's what they say. They say cramps, but cramps could be anything.
Right? Could have been a bathroom break. Fair enough. Could have been a crap, but maybe, yeah. Can you imagine? Well, all right. I don't want to get too outlandish.
I don't want to understand the cramp thing.
Let's not go with this. But how do I say this?
Chris is really, really.
I'm struggling. I'm struggling. Cover your little kid's ears. No, I mean, sometimes you have to go. And it wouldn't hurt to have a cart to get you where you need to go.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Are you kidding me?
Like, could you imagine having to walk off in front of 40,000, 60,000, 80,000 people?
Doing the waddle?
Doing kind of the waddle to the locker room? So I could see that maybe that's why he needed the cart. But he did come right back in the game like there was no problem at all.
When I was a drinker, I used to have massive stomach problems. I wonder why.
That might
but,
be why. Yeah.
I was golfing one day, Chris, and my stomach was killing me. And I was all the way out on, like, hole number 12.
Oh,
and there were no bathrooms. So I had to I had to hoof it.
Maybe we should just kind of move on from this subject.
I made it, but it was brutal. I can't even imagine doing it in front of a bunch of people in a stadium.
I think we've all been there in one way or the other. So Deebo Samuel out, joins Christian McCaffrey. 49ers, you know, to me, I'm only saying this, but I still think they're a Super Bowl team, but not for a while.
If Christian McCaffrey comes back.
Well, they're not a Super Bowl team right now. I mean, they're missing two guys. I wish to, you know, they're playing the Rams this week. The Rams don't have Puka Nacua nor Cooper Kupp, who's now out.
Yeah, the Rams
are in
trouble.
It's going to be a weird game this weekend.
And their offensive
those two
line
teams.
Is terrible.
All right. So, and there was one other thing I wanted to do in this potpourri segment, but yeah, it's kind of escaped me.
Wasn't. Someone said, did George Kittle soil himself? No, he did not.
Well, wait a minute. You don't know that for sure.
I think we would have heard about
that. I mean,
that.
Since you you do?
I think that would have become news.
You think that would have been...
Oh, you remember the best
one? You think
one?
Somebody would have told you... Somebody would have announced that from the 49er locker room? The reason George Kittle left the game is... He soiled.
Well, don't you think like the other team would be like, smell it or something?
Oh, come on. All right, this is the worst segment we've ever had.
No, it's not.
That's it. It is. It's the worst segment we've ever
last
had.
Last thing, remember when Lamar Jackson
waddled? What do you mean, last thing? I'm giving you another shot at this?
When Lamar Jackson had to waddle into the locker room during Monday Night Football, you remember that? And then he came out and he was like a new man. It's Big Five time.
We have got to get out of here quickly to save ourselves. Dodgers did not score in the first. Mets, Nationals are scoreless in the second. Padres, Astros later. Diamondbacks, Rockies in a little while. Scoreboard update. It's about the only thing I can think of after that segment.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Wow, I can't believe it, guys, that we are just 2 weeks away from the Major League Baseball regular season being over. It seems like this season went really fast and really slow all at the same time. I don't know how Tony feels, but that's at least to where I feel.
Yeah, you can speak for yourself.
I was going to say, it's much different when you're there every single day doing working.
Yeah.
So, and yesterday, let's just get into it. Yesterday, the Padres won an extra inning game, and this year they're 9-1 in extra inning games, which is a massive improvement over last season where they went 2-12. It's the complete opposite from last year, and there is one theory being brought forth by Jake Cronenworth as to why it's changed. He said yesterday, quote, "I think the biggest thing is we're not putting that pressure on ourselves to make it happen. It's just a continuation of the game. We go out there and have good at-bats. It's not like it's turning into this thing where guys make it bigger than what it is," end quote. Chris, what is the biggest force behind this turnaround?
There's two things, and I don't disagree with Jake at all. I'm sure that they have that feeling and they have that confidence in the dugout, in the locker room, and I think that has a lot to do with it. I think the main reason they're winning in extra innings this year is because they have a better bullpen than anyone. And when you get to the extra innings, it's a battle of bullpens. And I'm going to take the Padres' bullpen almost every time. So I think that's probably the best, you know, tangible reason. But there's one other thing at work here. And I want everybody to understand that I have not used this phrase all season.
I know where you're going.
Because last year, the phrase did not work. And the phrase is, water finds its level. Last year, I kept saying it, and it never happened. Guess what? It's happening this year. Water has found its level. You go from 2-12 to 9-1. Baseball, that's how it works. So those are the things for me.
Tony, what's the biggest force behind this turnaround in extra innings?
I agree with Jake. From a 20,000-foot view, right? They not putting the same pressure on themselves. It does seem like a continuation of the game. I think the bullpen would be a little short-sighted because the Padres didn't have that bullpen until August 1st. And so all the games prior to that, they did pretty well without that bullpen. And I think it boils down to the foundation that was built
early in camp, and Mike Schilt, you know, making it a priority that these guys can situational hit and that they paid attention to what the scoreboard was. And that kind of bleeds into what Jake is saying. But yeah, it's a continuation of the game because they've been doing it for the entire game. And so it's not as though they need to put any pressure. They just continue to execute the way they have, and that's led to a fantastic record in extra innings. You got to remember, you know, Padres haven't started when they're at home, they're not starting hitting. You know, they're pitching first when they go to the top of 10. So, yeah, you got to be able to hold there, but the Padres have also done a terrific job on the road of scoring first and scoring multiple times. So I just think that they've done a good job of not making it too big, but more importantly, this is a part of who they've been the entire season, and I think that's why it's materialized the way it has.
Has water found any level at all, Tony?
Well, yeah, technically, yeah. No, it has. Last year,
you win.
Last year they couldn't win in extra innings, no matter what they tried,
yeah.
Except at the very end.
Right.
And then this year, they can't seem to lose. I mean, yes, water has found its level.
Woo-hoo. Hallelujah!
It took for Chris.
It took a long time, but it finally happened.
Yes, yes, it did.
Number four.
Bengals star receiver for unsportsmanlike conduct in the fourth quarter of their loss yesterday to the Chiefs, following an interaction that officials said crossed the line. Now, the issue behind this whole flag and crossing the line to the referee stems from a hip drop tackle that Ja'Marr Chase thought should have been called on Trent McDuffie. Anyway, it's a controversial tackle. We've talked about it a lot on this show, and it happened a lot yesterday with a lot of commentators saying it's kind of crazy that they only send notices out during the week with fines for people who do this and not penalize them on the field. So, Tony, should they be penalizing players on the field for hip drop tackles?
Wait, so it's not an actual penalty?
They can call the penalty.
I think it's supposed to be, but nobody's called one yet.
Yeah, okay,
yeah, so,
yeah, and so then they fine you during the week.
I hate it. I'm glad that they can go back and look at the fine, but they need to be penalized. And usually, I'm so surprised with the NFL officials because usually when there's a new rule introduced, they go hard.
They usually overdo it.
They overdo it. And the fact that this one in particular has to do with kind of safety. The fact that they're not called, I saw two of them personally. I saw the Chase one, and then I saw the Mixon one in the Texan game.
Yeah.
And neither of those were called. And, you know, I didn't know that's what Ja'Marr Chase got the penalty for, was for cursing out basically the referee for not calling it. But after I found out, I feel him, especially in his situation. He is already playing when he feels like he should be getting a new contract. He's not going to renegotiate the rest of the season. So I just want to caution every official. He's going to be on high alert all season long. You might get cussed out more than once by Ja'Marr Chase because anything that he feels like is a detriment to his health, he's going to react. Now, you'd like to see him be able to handle it better, but in some ways I understood where he was coming from, being that irritated, knowing that could be a broken leg, a torn knee.
And he hasn't got his bag yet, Tony.
And he hasn't got his bag yet. So, yeah, man, I think they need to be calling these penalties because, honestly, that as much as we hate it when they go overboard, I think it sends the right message. And then they can kind of course correct afterward. But now everybody's going to be looking for it. And now as you start to call it, people are going to feel some type of way that you're reacting to the previous week's fodder that, you know, we're on the air talking about.
The referee's name is Alex Kemp, and they asked him after the game what was said. He wouldn't reveal what he said, but he said it went from being like a heat-of-the-moment thing to a personal attack. So
okay.
I can only imagine what Ja'Marr Chase said to get that penalty.
I can only imagine, too.
Chris, should they be penalizing players on the field for this?
The Bengals should know by now. They're not going to penalize any Kansas City Chiefs for anything.
This is true. This
we
is
already
true.
Talked about this in the good, bad, and ugly. So that's kind of the joke part of it. Chiefs seem like they get away with everything. But, yeah, they absolutely should call it because players' health is in question here. And I am surprised that they haven't overdone it the way they often do. But there's one other thing at work here, and Tony touched on most of it. The Cincinnati Bengals ownership needs to take a little responsibility for these kinds of things that are happening with Ja'Marr Chase. You continue to lowball your superstar players and they go out and they're playing angry because of the way they're being treated by you,
yep,
don't be surprised if they lose their cool and cost you a football game.
I mean, look at their top two wide receivers have contract issues.
The Bengals are not a good franchise.
No.
They have a good quarterback and a really good coach and defensive coordinator, but this is where the franchise hurts the team. Not yep, taking care of players, they take it out on the field. I think that had something to do with it. I also think, and I don't know what he said, so we can't totally comment, but as an official, tie game or one-point game, 4 minutes to go, third down, I'd like to see you be able to take a little bit more before the flag comes out. But again, we don't know what was said.
It sounds pretty, like, I just imagine it being pretty
bad. No, I know. I know what you're saying, but still.
You can imagine a dude who already, as Chris just pointed out, feels like his organization isn't doing him right. He already feels like he's virtually out there playing, you know, somewhat naked. And a big play happens. You can imagine the steam that was coming. I mean, yeah, you could see it. Joe Burrow was trying to calm him down, and he didn't. It was like he didn't even see Joe Burrow.
He was still yelling when he got back to the bench. Chase was, so.
Quick yes or no answer on this. Tony, are hip drop tackle offenders playing dirty now?
Yeah. Now you know it's a rule and you're still doing it? Yes.
Okay, Chris?
They're taking advantage of it until they get called for it. So I guess all's fair in love and war.
Number three.
Wow. Reports out of San Francisco are shedding more light on how Matt Chapman closed his long-term deal with the Giants, and it seems to have taken Buster Posey as the negotiator that closed the deal. Andrew Baggerly of NBC Sports Bay Area wrote, quote, "It was an ownership group that viewed re-signing Chapman as a slam dunk and did not trust Farhan Zaidi and Scott Boras to finish at the rim," end quote. While Posey's involvement did stem from ownership's impatience with Farhan and the negotiations, it also allowed the Giants to avoid interference from Boras, who was telling Chapman that San Francisco's offer could be a potential floor in free agency this winter, according to Baggerly. So, I guess maybe Tony can explain this a little bit, but a luxury Zaidi didn't have as president of baseball operations, like tampering maybe. Chris, you're up first, though. Is this a bad sign for the future of Farhan Zaidi?
And it's so confusing of a story, and until Tony tells me what the
Should we have Tony go first?
Well, if anybody knows the facts, I mean, if Farhan Zaidi doesn't have control to sign a player or not sign a player, then that is an issue. But it's really difficult to comment because I don't know the inner workings of the Giants.
I accept your answer.
Thank you.
Chris, Tony, can you shed some light on this?
Okay, well, you know, first of all, any report that's coming from an outside source, you have to be leery on things like he was being told that it was the floor of free agency. Who would have said that in this article? A person on the Giants side? Probably. It probably wasn't somebody on the other side. So we don't actually know if that's what Boras was saying. However, I do think this is a problem for Zaidi because how many times have they swung and missed in free agency?
A lot.
Wow,
a lot.
Good call, Tony.
They had the Correa deal in hand. That ended up blowing up. He seems to be doing perfectly fine in Minnesota right now. And so the mere fact that Buster Posey had to step in and basically play GM in order to seal this deal, I don't know. If I'm in that ownership group, I'm kind of looking at Zaidi in some kind of way. Like, we've missed out on Judge. We've missed out on Correa. There was somebody that free agency before that I can't remember, but then we get Buster in here and he just knocks it out, and he saw the same thing that we do. And then it brings me to my next point.
Maybe they should make Buster Posey GM.
Well, if Buster wants to be a GM,
I think it's going that way. Buster's smart,
he's like, I don't want to do this full time. I'll top in here every once in a while, do a guest appearance. I think the other thing is, this is Farhan is certainly at the edge of, you know, analytics and how they view things. And, you know, when you're trying to put guys into these boxes that these analytics and stuff tell you, you know, why it should be a good deal, it almost seems like Zaidi is looking for the perfect free agent deal. And it doesn't exist. The reality is, when you sign these long terms, with the exception of Barry Bonds, there's only one I can think of offhand that, like, lived up to his contract and beyond, right? Through the whole thing. after that, you're going to get diminished returns as they get older. That is just a fact. Every single one of them. So I don't know. It just almost feels like he's always looking for, like, the perfect deal. Can I get the right production for the entirety of this deal? And so that I can, you know, feel good and not look crazy that I signed this guy. And I don't think those deals really exist. I think all of us get old and we get less productive, especially in sports. And so, yeah, I think this could be a bad sign. Plus, he's been there for a long time. Shelf lives on GMs, whew, they ain't long. That's for sure. So, I think this could be a bad sign for him.
I just looked up kind of the free agent fails for the Giants real quick in Farhan, and they went after Judge, as we said. Otani also was a guy they went after. Bryce Harper was someone they went after. Yoshinobu Yamamoto was a guy they went after. So there's a lot of swings and misses. Yep. No pun intended. Chris, anything on this?
No, I gave you what I had, and then Tony hit it out of the park.
I gave you what I had. Man, I just love that you're just putting forth every single ounce of effort into this show.
Number two.
You're welcome.
he took it as like an insult, and it wasn't an insult. LPGA Solheim Cup, which is like the Ryder Cup for the women. Team Europe member Charlie Hull is enjoying a pretty nice year on the golf course, and her popularity has risen a lot this year. Some people are not happy with a bad habit of hers. Have you guys seen this?
Nope.
She is one of the few pro golfers that still smokes cigarettes on the golf course.
Oh, God.
She got eaters out there.
She's even signing autographs while enjoying a nice dart. She's from England, so, you know, I don't know that that's still a thing anymore, where some countries are, you know, better smokers than others.
I don't think it's fair to blame this on England. I think this is...
Anyway.
He's blaming it on England.
So someone snapped a picture of her signing an autograph with a big old cigarette in her mouth, and they were like, shouldn't she probably not be smoking around children and around everybody else? So, Tony, should the PGA Tour, it's not against the rules, should the PGA Tour and LPGA Tour ban smoking during their events?
Is she outside?
Yeah, of course.
I don't know.
It does seem really weird in this day and age to see a professional, quote-unquote, athlete smoking darts as they're heading down the fairway.
I know it might seem outrageous to believe, but we don't see all professional athletes 24/7.
That's true. There could be professional athletes
I'm sure many of them. Many of them smoke.
Smoke cigarettes.
But between the lines, I think, is where...
I think during the event, you know, if she's in action, they probably should, you know, have a no-cigarette policy, or at least have like a... You know, they got like a clubhouse.
Smoking area.
She can get back to the clubhouse, can't she? Come on.
Or go to the porta potty.
Or duck into the porta potty in the seventh hole and have a quick, you know, drag.
I think, how was it? How long are you on the course usually for?
5 hours probably.
That's a long one.
She said it helps her to calm down. Smokers think
it does. In Major League Baseball that smoke a cigarette during their starts. You know, it's just.
Really?
We talked about Ed Whitson sitting in the hallway back in the day for the Padres. he's not the only one.
What was the whole thing with Ha-Seong Kim and smoking cigarettes? I can't remember at this point.
Yeah, he smoked cigarettes.
Yeah, I mean...
He did. I don't know if he said
that. Not out on the field. I think the easy answer here is if you're between the lines, I mean, or between the ropes, you know, please, you know...
Yeah,
it's
so
just
is this between
look.
The ropes?
Yes, it's between
her?
The ropes.
I think
and
it's
doing
bad.
Like,
it's a really
yeah, between the ropes.
Look. Come on. I mean,
yeah,
I think
she's representing
the
LPGA.
Yeah, I think they can
come
down on this.
Yeah.
Nothing...
I do.
Nothing like a good cloud of smoke going up in the air.
That's pretty comical, I gotta tell you.
Has
she hit a shot yet with a cigarette? Dangling from her lips?
No, I don't think she... No.
It's in between holes as she's going from hole 4 to 5.
Yeah, that or walking down the fairway or just signing autographs, apparently.
I know I've seen John Daly hit some shots with a cigarette.
I've seen John Daly hit a shot out of a guy laying on the ground holding a tee in his mouth. So yeah. John Daly's done some crazy things.
I think this is a bad look, though, for the LPGA, and I think they should step in. I do.
All right. Don't be so serious.
I don't know if it's a bad look, but they should definitely... They should definitely rectify the situation.
Number one.
Get her a cigarette sponsor. What happened to those?
Marlboro.
She has a big old Marlboro hat.
LPGA Tour event.
I remember growing up seeing that
used
camel thinking it was real cool, okay?
Used to happen.
I know this is something that only I would bring to the show, but yesterday during the Packers and Colts game, the Packers center was caught vomiting all over the field before the snap.
Saw that.
I think this is disgusting, and this is gross, and whatever else word I can think of for this. Colts defenders are right there, and they play through it, which credit to them. But, Chris, should you allow to play if you were throwing up on the field during the game?
Well, I watched the clip, at least what I could see of the clip, and it came to light after the game because Matt LaFleur, the Packers coach, was asked why his quarterback ran a scramble on a third and long. And Matt LaFleur said he asked his quarterback, Malik Willis, why he didn't throw the ball. And he said, because there was throw up all over it. And they showed a clip of the play.
So gross.
It looks like the center kind of threw up just as he was snapping the ball. I don't think anybody could have blown a whistle in time to stop the action.
Would they stop it?
I think
I don't think they would either.
I mean, look, Donovan McNabb famously was throwing
up
in the huddle in the Super Bowl. Well, they didn't stop the clock is my point.
Yeah.
And it went back to, you know, the Eagles weren't, you know, playing fast enough. They were trying to catch up to the
Patriots. I didn't hear that part of the story, that there was throw up on the ball, and so that's why he couldn't throw.
That's what happened, according to Matt LaFleur. But I think it happened too late for them to do anything. But I think in general, when offensive linemen's throwing up and they're just lining up, I think the refs can step in and stop the clock, let the guy get it together for a minute. I don't think that's a problem.
Tony, what do you think about this? Should he be allowed to play if someone's throwing up on the field?
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, yeah, for sure.
They let him play bleeding on the field, so throw up's no big deal.
Exactly. We've seen the bloody socks. We've seen all kinds of things. A little puke. Although I thought it was funny because you could see the lineman try to puke to the right of
the
ball.
He did.
But it like splashed.
He just couldn't do it.
He couldn't control it. I didn't even know that Malik ended up running on that play.
Yes, he scrambled. He couldn't get a handle on the ball.
That is too fun. And I tell you what. At that point, you know a guy is really dialed in because, you know, in real life, if someone puked on the ball, are you touching it?
No, of course not.
Exactly. Like if it wasn't a game being played and someone puked on the ball, you're like, bro, timeout.
Yeah,
you're calling
timeout.
But I think a timeout is warranted.
I think it also shows just how intense and physical things can get in the trenches. I don't think 100%. We really realize what's going on down there sometimes.
It's like it's week two. These guys are still working their way into like full, because they didn't play none of the preseason most of the time. So they're still working their way into shape. So I think you got to be able to play through it.
Wow. That's not what I expected.
Puke and rally, baby.
I've done that many times in my life, but in different settings. It's just like, I'll stop because I know I'm over the top with the germs.
You're over the top. Yes.
All right. That's it for the Big Five. We have a big old series coming up between the Padres and the Astros this week. So Chris and I are going to get you set for game one here on 97.3 The Fan.